All right, we are going to talk about spiritual gifts today. But before we talk about spiritual gifts, Pastor Rick and Claire are getting ready to go on their annual cross-country trip. So we want to pray for them. And so I also want to welcome Will, who snuck in at the last minute. Everybody say hi to Will. See? Come early, we say hi to you, or you come late, we'll all say hi to you. It don't matter to me. Let's pray. Let's pray for Pastor Rick and Claire. Father, our pastor are getting ready, Lord, for their trip to see their family, their loved ones, their friends, the ones that they made differences in their lives. God, let them see the reward of the fruit of their labor. And God, keep them safe that they would return to us, God, the way they left. God, we ask for protection over their driving, over their vehicle, over all that they do. May they have the most wonderful time this year that they've ever had. And God, thank you for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. They're always faithful to watch us on the video, on the social media, because they always text me telling me about the message. So I know they're watching at least for at least 30 seconds. Just enough to say, yeah, I saw you said that. Yeah, okay. No, they watch and they go to church, which is amazing. They go to church and then they come and go to church with us. So God is so good. We bless you and have a wonderful trip. You will be missed, I promise. The Holy Spirit. Now, how do I start this? Here's the problem. The Holy Spirit is at work, and people are not realizing he's at work. Okay? I get this all the time. I was doing this, and I got convicted that I wasn't supposed to do that, and then I felt bad the whole time I was doing it. And I'm looking for my bad at this point. If the Holy Spirit convicted you, that means he told you not to do it. Stop doing it. Don't do it. Turn around. You don't have to continue on a path you're not supposed to be on. Why do you think he's talking to you? He's talking to you so that you will understand what it is you're supposed to do and then do it. That brings me to spiritual gifts, because the majority of spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. There is one gift that does not come from the Holy Spirit, but we'll get to that at some point. We run around acting as though we have gift from the Holy Spirit that we don't have. And what it does is it leads people astray, confuses them, or causes them to take a path that they shouldn't be on because you never had that gift to start with, but you think you do. Now, half of the blame goes on the person who thinks they have the gift, and the other half goes on the person seeking. Because it's your friend does not mean they have the gift to help you. They could still be your friend, just don't go to them for the gift. You'll understand a little more as I preach what I'm talking about. Our text is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11, is what we're going to base this sermon off of. And then we're going to dive into it a little deeper. What I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. I want you to completely understand that the Holy Spirit's talking to you every day. You know you're not supposed to say something, but you say it anyway. You know you're supposed to say something, and you don't say it. I'm to a point now that if I don't obey the Holy Spirit, it haunts me. I was in Disney World, and the Holy Spirit told me to pray for a little crippled girl, and I didn't do it. I hemmed and I hawed, and next thing I knew, I couldn't find her. And it haunted me for a very long time, still does, because I don't know what would have happened had I prayed for her. I've seen enough miracles in my life to know that they exist. So it's extremely important that we understand that God's Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, is worked into our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood. That's why I'm preaching this sermon, so that we would have a better understanding of how the Holy Spirit works in our life, a better understanding on how to obey the Holy Spirit, and a better understanding of what the gifts are. But I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. So we're supposed to teach this. God wants you to be informed. He wants you to have knowledge, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, the threefold cord that is not broken. Powerful, powerful, powerful. And God wants you to understand the Holy Spirit. Remember how when you didn't know God, led from one phony God to another, never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everybody else did it. We don't like to admit our life before God. I'm thankful I had a life before God because now I know the difference. Had I never had a life before God, I would not know the difference. I know the difference he's made in my life. I know how much kinder I am, how much more compassionate I am, how much more caring I am, how much more loving I am compared to the life I had before God. A life in God does not have hate in it. You can't hate another human being. I got awful quiet in here. Jesus said, don't say you love me. Don't be a liar. Jesus said, don't be a liar. Don't be going around saying you love me when you don't love a brother or sister. Why? Because he's in that person. If you can't love somebody you can see, how are you going to love somebody you can't see? You know, why do I tell you this? Because I want to make sure all y'all are in heaven with me. I don't want you down there where the recipe is. Original or extra crispy. I'm not saying the kernel's down there. I don't know where the kernel is. But I imagine that recipe's down there. So we had this life before God, and we made things our God without knowing that it was our God. See, anything you put before God becomes your God. Sports can be a god. Television can be a god. Money can certainly be a god. I remember when money was my god. I remember when I worked 7 days a week and could care less whether I was going to church on Sunday or not. I'd much rather go to work and make money. But what I didn't know was that money was my god and not God. That's where wisdom, knowledge, and understanding comes. It helps me be patient with you because I was such a fool. I expect foolish things. Because it took me a long time to get it all figured out. It's different in this life. God wants us to use our intelligence to seek to understand as well as we can. In other words, God wants us to think about what we're doing. Don't just do it because everybody else is doing it. Don't just do it because it's the easiest thing to do. Don't just do it so that you'll please your friends. We don't like to be chastised. We don't like to be made fun of. And sometimes we have a tendency to go along with the crowd so that that doesn't happen to us. Everybody should get to be a preacher for a month. Then nobody could bother you anymore. you have taken it all. They'll say everything they can say about you. Some of y'all know it's true because you're the ones been saying it. I don't care what people think. I care what God thinks. If I'm true to God, I'm true to myself. Join me. Or don't. It's not going to change who I am or what I do. Shouldn't change you either. For instance, by using your heads, you know perfectly well the Spirit of God would never prompt anyone to say, Jesus be damned. What's it saying? You know, if you think about it, you use the intelligence that God gave you, you're going to know that it is not the Spirit of God that's prompting you or leading you into doing something you already know you should not be doing. You already know it's wrong before you do it. And if you don't know it's wrong before you do it, as you start to do it, you're going to find out it was wrong. Nor would anyone be inclined to say, Jesus is master without the insight of the Holy Spirit. You would not know that there is a God without the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that informed you your need of a God. People that think they're in charge of their destiny fail to realize they need a God sometimes until it's way too late. If you had everything you wanted, everything you needed, all the money you could spend for the rest of your life, friends, everything in that the world has to offer, you have a very hard time coming to know the Savior, Jesus Christ. Because you got everything. But it's through our trials, it's through our struggle, it's through our tribulation, God will bring us to our knees so that we can have an understanding that we need Him. God's not interested in your comfort, He's interested in your character. Want to get out of your struggles, draw closer to God. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere. But they all originate in God's Spirit. I'm thankful that there are different gifts in the church. If we all had the same gift, we wouldn't need to come here because we would all know the same thing, right? But we have different gifts, and they're handed out everywhere. In other words, they're not for the select few. God has gifts for each and every person in here. And he wants to give them to you. But what am I trying to say to you today is this, that until you begin to obey the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't expect any gifts. The first step in getting a gift is to obey the Holy Spirit. Give him a reason to give you the gift. The next thing you have to understand is that you have to want the gift. I remember my pastor came up to me, and I was a pastor in the church. And they said to me, "Do you have the gift of tongues?" "No, I don't." And I had to start thinking about that. I was a little embarrassed at the moment because I was probably the only pastor there out of about a dozen of them that didn't have the gift. And the thing was, I never wanted the gift because I never understood the gift. Once I understood the gift, I wanted the gift. And we're going to get into that down the road in this sermon. And I was asked, "Do you want the gift?" And I said, "Yeah." And they prayed over me. And I woke up with the gift. Because I desired it. But until I desired it, I wasn't going to get it. So when I give you the list of the gifts that are coming in this chapter, think about which ones you would like to have. So that you can begin to ask God and the Holy Spirit to give you those gifts. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. See, that's the issue. Is it my church or God's church? Is it God's ministry or my ministry? And I figured out there was a dividing line. And I searched for that dividing line because I want this to be a house of God, not a house of me. I don't want no glory. I don't want no honor. I want God to have it all. And I found that dividing line, and it's a tough dividing line because there comes a point where I have to cross that line. And here's the line. Do I decide who comes here or does God? Okay. Now, here's the dividing line. If you're harming the sheep, I have to step in. But as long as you're not harming the sheep, you'll always have a seat here. Because I'm not the decider of who comes and who doesn't come. And you can leave and you can come back and I will love you like you never left. Because this is God's church. You can be involved in some sin that I know about and I will love you when you come here as if you were not. Because I understand God said, love the sinner, not the sin. And I don't want to be loved based on the sin that I've done. nobody does. God's various expressions of power, that should stop you in your tracks. Because we're supposed to have power. What do we have? 2,000 years of watered down Christianity. I'm going to show you some power that used to exist, that still exists, only we don't know we have it. I don't know what happened to Christianity. I don't know how it got so diluted, other than the devil set traps, lots of them, and we fell into them. And we forgot how powerful we really are. We were powerful in 1907. They took "In God We Trust" off our coins. We had a fit. I wasn't born then. I know what you're thinking. Stop it. The Christian said, No. "1916, we were powerful. They made a quarter with a woman's bare breast on it." And the Christian stood up and said, No. They dressed her. When's the last time? When has there been a time in your life where you've saw Christians rise up and do anything? You know why? We made these four walls the church. These four walls are not the church. This is the equipping center. This is where you come to get knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. This is where you come to find your anointing. This is where you come to gain strength. The church is outside. And my friend is here, as many of you know, Pastor Sean Barr, and he's staying at our cottage while he plants a church in Melbourne. And I already knew what he was going to do before I got here, because I did the same thing, and everybody does the same thing. They get here, and then we got these grand illusions of grandeur that we're going to bring churches together. We're going to be able to do things together. We're going to be able to we're going to be able to work together. We're going to be able to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, no. I went to one pastor, and I said, "We're having this big concert, and we got these people coming from, and they're phenomenal, and you're going to, and we need you to bring the kids," and look at me and say, "Oh, we can't do that." Well, no charge. Why can't we do that? Because we're separatist. We don't get involved with any other churches. Oh, you have a different Bible than I have. Get one with the name Holy in front of it. God never called you to be separatist. He said separate from the world, not from other brothers and sisters in Christ. And I built the youth center. When I say I mean we, because I certainly didn't do it by myself. And people would be talking, "Oh, we're going to get these churches to come." I'm like, I've had probably a dozen churches come and see the youth center, but none of them will come to it. I had one church come, and they're looking at it, and they're talking about how great it is. And I'm like, And what would it cost us to come and use it for a weekend? And nothing. You don't have to pay anything. Because when I had the vision of the youth center, it was my greatest desire that nobody would ever be charged for anything. That God would be the source and God would supply. And he has. But see, what happens is they go back home and they start thinking about it. Now, wait a minute. I go over there and we bring our kids there. They're going to like it. And when they like it, they're going to want to start going to that church. And when they start going to that church, the parents are going to start going to that church. Let me think about this. And when the parents start going to that church, their money is going to go to that church. Oh, no, we can't do that. And that is why you have never seen another church come to the youth center. Even though they've been offered to use it on days we're there and on days we're not there. And my friend Sean came over here and he said, I'm going to put some churches together and we're going to bring some stuff together. And he went out and he talked to all the different churches and he came back to me and he says, these churches will never come together. I know. I already did it. I already tried. But that's why we have lost our power. The power is in coming together. I am much stronger if you're with me than if you're not. You are much stronger if we're with you than if we're not. We're supposed to be able, and I'll show you that in Scripture in a little while, we are supposed to be able to do stuff, things, powerful stuff. Why can't we do it? Why? To be a doctor in America, you go to school for a long time. You got to get good grades all through grade school, high school. You got to be smart. You got to go to college and get good grades. You got to go to med school and get good grades. You got to go intern. Next thing you know, it's taking you 20 years to get there. And then you're a doctor. We want to heal without ever paying the price. But there's a price to pay for the gift. I made hundreds of hospital visits. Hundreds of hospital visits before I was a pastor. Praying for people. And God looked and said, he has the desire to heal. And it would take a month of Sundays for me to parade before you all the people that have been healed or know of somebody I've healed through the power of God. Not through my own power. Don't start misquoting me. Because of the gift. But I worked for it. Because I wanted the power to do what God wants me to do. We don't want to be embarrassed. We have insecurity about who we are, I wish you knew who you were in God's eyes. I wish you knew the strength you had. I wish you knew the power you could have. I wish you knew the things that you could do if you properly aligned yourself. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. I am the branch, you are the vine, you can do nothing apart from me. But you can do everything with Him. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. That's an amazing statement. You have been given something to do that will show somebody else who God is. Does that mean you're going to get on this stage and preach? Absolutely, it does not. Some will. We've got a preacher in here. He might not know it yet, but there's one in here. I know it. There's one. Sometimes it's through an act of compassion or kindness that somebody can see God in you by what you've done. It is amazing what can cause somebody to call out to God. You've been given something to do. Do you think that it's just a free ride, this life? That you're put here just to exist, take up space, suck up air? No. God put you here and He gave you something to do. And people spend a lot of time trying to figure out what they're supposed to do. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't even spend your time thinking about what it is you're supposed to do. That's a waste of your time. All you have to do is align yourself and grow closer to God, and then He will reveal what it is He wants you to do. But He's not going to tell you what it is you're supposed to do when you're so far away from Him. He's waiting for the proper time. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit. And to all kinds of people, the variety is wonderful. And these are the things that we will go over. Wise counsel. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. Clear understanding is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, all gifts from the Holy Spirit. Proclamation is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Distinguishing between spirits is a gift. Tongues is a gift, and the interpretation of tongues is a gift. All of these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. A little warning, if you get close to God, you'll get gifts you don't even want. We're going to start with wise counsel. I'm glad God put that first. because it's the one we have the most problem with. When people want counsel, you know what they do, Pastor Rick? They make their rounds till somebody agrees with them. Because they never wanted counsel, they wanted agreement. And they don't look at anybody as authority. So they'll come to me for counsel, but they're not looking at me as authority. And so I give them the counsel. That's not what they wanted to hear. So now they go to their friend, or they may have went to the friend first, who has no business in the world giving any counsel, but they give it anyway. And it's about as ungodly as it gets. Or they'll see somebody in the church that, I'm going to use this word, prominence. In other words, they stand out for whatever reason. Maybe because they're very outgoing, or maybe because they're very loving, or maybe because they're involved in some sort of ministry of the church. Who knows why, but they're prominent. And so they go to them for counsel, when in fact they have no idea what they're talking about. The first person to get counsel from is God. And if you want a confirmation, then come see me. If you want a confirmation, go see somebody who has victory in that area. Don't be messing around with people that do not have victory in what it is you seek help for. You having a problem with your marriage? And you want to talk to somebody? Now, some of you might get offended about this, but that's okay. Go ahead. You've been divorced 3 times? Shut your mouth. You don't know nothing about marriage. How are you going to give advice to somebody about their marriage when you don't got one on your own? I always say this. Don't get financial advice from a homeless person. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying they're not the best ones to advise me on how to invest. The insurance agent that I sat across the table with last week asked me, he said, "Who's your financial advisor?" I will let you in on a secret. All of my advisors have more money than I do. If I want to have less money, then I'll ask somebody financial advice who has less money than I do. That way I can join them. But I'd rather join the one who has more money than I do. Makes more sense to me. God's my advisor. But I know some people. I remember when I was young, I was working at this guy's house. And at 50 years old, he sold his business and had enough money to live on the rest of his life. I said to him, I was a brave little guy. I said, "Where do you invest your money at?" And he looked at me because nobody had ever asked him that question before. He walked away. Didn't answer me. A few minutes later, he laid some documents on the table. He said, "Go sit at the table. You can see everything that I do." C- because we're supposed to help each other. And that's great. But be careful who you ask what. Don't ask me how to fix your car. Now, I almost became an auto mechanic. I was this close. And I was selected as one of five or six people in my entire community, like 7-8 high schools, selected five or six kids to go to mechanic school rather than go to high school. And I was selected. Same year I moved to Florida. Otherwise, I'd have been a mechanic. And when I lost that opportunity, I never wanted to work on a car in my entire life and have very seldom ever even tried it. So don't ask me. I'm the wrong person to get counsel from. Whatever I tell you, if I tell you anything, it's probably going to be wrong. What you got to do is take the jumper cable, attach it to the carburetor. I don't know. You want to know about alcoholism? Come see me. I've lived it. I've never been an alcoholic, but my mother was an alcoholic. My dad died of an alcoholic overdose. My brother's alive and is an alcoholic. My sister's dead. She's an alcoholic. I can go on and on. I grew up in bars. I know all about it. I've studied it. I know about it. I've lived it. I can give you counsel. Go back to that list of gifts, Linda. There it is, wise counsel. It doesn't say get counsel, it says get wise counsel. And I will tell you this, somebody who's not walking with God is unable to give you wise counsel. I've had couples come to marriage counseling, and I remember this one couple came, and on their third visit, they looked at me and said, you know, we've been in secular counseling for 3 years. We've gotten more in 2 weeks than we got in 3 years. Because of the agenda. My agenda is to teach you quickly so you stop coming to me. I don't want 47 visits. If I can't fix it in a couple of visits, I'm probably not fixing it. They want you to come back next week so you can bring your checkbook again next week. They're just going to sit and listen to you. Okay, great. We'll see you next week. God can't fix it in a few weeks, you're not letting God fix it. I don't know what it's going to take to get people to stop giving advice they shouldn't be given. In my last church, we were taught this. About 1,000 members, big church. A lot of people came up. And if somebody came up to you and they had an issue they wanted to talk about, and you don't know nothing about that issue, you figure out which one of the other pastors knows something about that issue and you walk them over there. And when somebody came up with cancer, they got walked over to Pastor Marjorie. Or to me. Why? We've dealt with it. We know what you're going through. We know what you're feeling. We know how scared you are. We know what the drugs are doing. We know a lot about it. Go to where the victory is. If somebody came up and they needed a job, we're going to go find somebody who just got a job and we're going to pray together. Because we're going to where the victory is. If you're on trying to get off drugs, we're going to take you to somebody who's gotten off drugs. And that ain't me, because I've never been on drugs, so I'm not going to try to do it on my own. I'm going to go get somebody who's got some victory in that area that can help you. When you give advice you're not qualified to give, you're being prideful. Humble yourself and realize you don't know all the answers. I don't know all the answers. But there's a God that does, and he can lead you to the person that will help you get the right answers and the right help. Let's look at some scripture. First scripture is Proverbs 1:5. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. It does not say let the wise hear. It says listen. Listen is different than hearing. You hear it, but you pay no attention to it. You hear it, but you don't do nothing with it. You hear it, and then you ignore it. But when you listen, you're applying what you heard. Let the wise listen. Let them apply what they learned and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. In other words, that's what I've been talking about. You have to be discerning on where you get your guidance. You have to go up and say, you know what? This person's a really nice guy, and he's wonderful, and we love him. But I can't ask him about marriage because he ain't never been married. That's discerning. I mean, you don't like somebody. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just means, hey, maybe they're not the best one to ask. I need to go talk to somebody who's been through some battles. Because if you're married, you've been through some battles. If you're going to sit there and tell me no, just get ready. They're coming. You ain't getting out of this thing unscathed. Things happen. Pastor Marjorie was given a medication. I knew when she had it. I knew when she took it. She wouldn't take it every day. Thank God. I didn't say take your medicine. Uh-uh. She transformed into a gremlin. Little, meek, loving, sweet Pastor Marjorie will catch a bug and take it outside because she's not going to hurt it. Would never say an unkind word to you. Would take this little pill. Now you think I made that up. I did not make that up. What's wrong, honey?
I don't know. But you're about to die.
Like I said, you got cancer, come talk to us. We've been through some stuff. What drug are you taking? Uh-oh. You didn't take it today, did you?
They told her she had to take it for X amount of years. When that was over with, went back and they said, well, we want you to take it for a few more years. Like, no, that's not going to happen. Not happening.
Be discerning of where you get help. That's what I've been talking about. Next scripture. Proverbs 24:5. The wise prevail through great power, and those who have knowledge muster their strength. Without knowledge, you will never have power in the things of God. Come to church to get knowledge so that you can have the power and increase your strength. You don't get physical muscles if you don't work them out. Guys that do physical work are stronger than guys typically that do not do physical work unless they go to the gym and work out. Why? Because they're exercising their muscles. You come to church to exercise. You exercise your knowledge about God that you could be stronger and you could develop the power that God has for you. But just like the gym, you know, the typical gym membership, here, take my money. Take my picture because you're never going to see me again. And every week I want you to take my picture out and put it on one of the machines because that's the only way I'm exercising. But it made me feel so good to join. I am so pleased with myself. I have joined the gym. We have a gym. Does everybody know? Working Faith Ministry. None of y'all know this. We have a gym. Connie's the only one who knows. Nobody else knows we have a gym. It's such a good gym. Has about a dozen pieces of equipment in it. It's really nice. I should put your pictures in there. And this gym's free. Put yours on the treadmill. I should charge a membership. I know you'll never go. If everybody showed up to the gym who had a membership on the same day, you wouldn't get in the door. You'd be waiting outside in the parking lot to even get in the door. They don't care how many memberships they sell. You ain't going. You got about 0.5% of the people that are those gym guys. They're going to go. The rest of us are not going. I had a job last week, and there was a delivery of gym equipment coming. So I asked her, I said, is this for decoration? She looked at me. Because it is. How do you think we got our gym equipment? I went to the yard sales. And there'd be this big old weight machine, you know, 10 different pulleys and hundreds of pounds of weight that they drug outside to sell that nobody's going to buy. And I said to them, you know what? How long is your garage sale? They said, well, today and tomorrow. I said, great. I said, here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to buy this piece of gym equipment. Not buying it. But at the end of your garage sale, if you haven't sold it and you would like to donate it to a youth center, I'll send my men to come pick it up. Here's my number. And that's how I got my gym equipment, our gym equipment. Hello? Yeah, you can come pick up that machine now. Great, we'll be right there.
I'd have the guys on standby. I found a piece of gym equipment. Give me 2 days. We'll go get it. Not only is my gym full of gym equipment, but there's more equipment upstairs in the loft ready to go in case one breaks. We just change machines because they're decoration. Don't come to church for decoration. Come to work out. Come to get stronger. Come to build your muscle. Come to increase your understanding. Come to increase your knowledge. Come to increase your power. Come to get the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you can go out and do the work of Christ. Prayer team, come up. This sermon's going to take a while. They tell me I have about 80 slides. Well, y'all get your pool going. Today's the first day of this series. Today's the day you say, I want the gifts of God. I don't want anything He doesn't want me to have, but I want everything that He has for me. I want to position myself that I could receive what God has for me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's your first step to get any gift. You've got to invite the Holy Spirit in. Admit that you're a sinner and ask for forgiveness. And let God know you want to make Him Lord of your life. Many people think they're saved. I'm not the gatekeeper, so I don't know. But I'd want to be sure if I were you. Some people need to rededicate their life, saying, you know what, I've lived for myself and I want to go back to living for God. Others just say, it's time for me to receive what God has for me. Father, we lift each and every person up before you, God, that would answer your call to do your work, to enhance the kingdom of God. To hire you as their advocate. That's free of charge. To live a better life. We thank you for this word in the name of Jesus.